This is an ABC podcast.
You're listening to Pacific Soul with Melissa Macon on ABC Radio Australia.
Everything that is gifted in order for the healing to take place comes through me. It is not of me. You know, there's that beautiful saying that you really can only hold somebody or create healing for somebody to the depths at which you have healed yourself. And I'm a 100% believer in that.
Would you consider yourself a spiritual person? Not in the sense of organized religion, but in feeling the sacred energy held within objects, places, or actions. Long before colonization, Māori, the indigenous Polynesian people of Aotearoa New Zealand, had unique ways of keeping their communities safe and healthy through traditional healing practices that they passed down through generations. Practices like miri miri, a therapeutic massage, or romi romi, a deeper tissue massage, or rongoa, a potent medicine drawing on native plants and ancestral wisdom to treat people's ailments. The people who were entrusted with this power, this mana, were called tohunga because they hold the deep knowledge of herbal medicine, spiritual ritual, and the spiritual realm itself. They maintain spiritual balance and harmony for themselves and the collective. Shalita Zaini is an established practitioner of the Māori healing arts, including miri miri, rongoa Māori, and hautapu breathwork. She works as a conduit and a channel for Ngā Mare Kura or Waitaha, the grandmothers of the Waitaha nation. Shalita has been a practitioner, teacher, guide, and mentor for over a decade, and she's speaking here to the ABC's Moale James Proud. And she began by introducing her tribes.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Huriwiki te Maunga, ko Whakapara te Awa, ko Ngā Toki Mata Whaurua te Waka, no Waitaha, no Ngāpuhi, no Ngā Tikahu, Oku Iwi, no Scotland, no Ireland, no taku kāinga nai nei ki Tamaki Makaurau, he taku tama kotahi he nuku tāwhiti. Kia ora hoa, my name is Shalita. I whakapapa tu, all my lineages are to a beautiful mix of the iwi or the tribes Waitaha, Ngāpuhi and Ngā Tikahu. On my te ao Māori side, I also have Scottish and Irish, and also Lebanese as well in the mix. So a bit of a mixing pot there. I currently reside in and of and everywhere in the ao in the world. I'm a bit of a travelling Wilbury, but I'm currently just based between Auckland and usually Ototahi, so down in Christchurch. I usually flow between the two spaces. I have one son and Nuku Tāwhiti, and yeah, that's me.
Beautiful. Thank you for that introduction. And what a beautiful mix of communities that you have as well. On your Instagram page and on your website, you call yourself a spiritual gangster. What does that mean?
Sure. It's a bit of a cheeky coin of phrase, I guess. It's in reference in some ways to my background, having come from a very urbanized background. I kind of carry a bit of that gangster attitude and vibe at times. And of course, the spiritual is in reference to probably the latest part in unfolding on my journey, which is taking place over the last decade, which has really been moving forward into Ara Wairua on my spiritual path and awakening the gifts that kind of reside in and of that.
And you mentioned gifts. What are those gifts?
I'd like to say that they're mine, but they're not. They come through the whakapapa, through the lineage, and all of those ones that I carry. And I just have the gift of being able to carry those things that have come through those lineages. My gifts and practices that have informed my practices over the last decade have come in the form of rongoa Māori, which is our beautiful native plant medicine, miri miri, which is our holistic form of body work, but it's much more than that because it's all encompassing. But yeah, healing modality. I also have a gift of matakiti or sight. So having a ability and gift to be able to see and work through the realms of time and space. And I weave all of these things together in lots of different ways. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. So your marks, were those specifically received because of that gift that you have?
I first saw the tohu, particularly this one here, which we refer to as the hōtiki. I saw that it came to me in a moimoia dream state. I saw myself with it and arranged for this beautiful wahine, Taran Berry, who's a tamoko artist, aligned with her to have the markings put on. And I hadn't at the time had any intention to have my kauai done, but as I was on her table, she asked me and said, oh, are we doing this today as well? Because I can see it sitting there. So the ancestors, the tupuna, and obviously decided that that was what was going to happen, and that's what happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, what a beautiful story. If someone was coming to you with complete ignorance going, what do you do? What is it that you would tell them?
For me, in that simplest form, you know, we have the term healer, which is nice, but labels don't often explain necessarily what it is that we do, because in the true essence of what it is that I do, I am really a channel, a conduit, an empty vessel. Because what I do and what gives me the mana and the modi, the life force to be able to do what it is that I'm doing, whether that's in the realms of rongoā, whether that's in the realms of mirimiri, whether that's in the realms of anchoring and facilitating spaces for others in hotapu and breathwork, everything that is gifted in order for the healing to take place comes through me. It is not of me. Because everything that we do is, of course, connected to Io and Source and guided by our tupuna, yours, mine, whoever I'm working with. And so to explain in a kind of three-dimensional way what it is that I do can get very tricky. Sometimes I've struggled in the past, and when we're trying and attempting to do things like funding applications, trying to explain to people in a tangible way what it is that we do, because oftentimes we're working in a completely intangible way. Yes, there may be physical aspects and components to it, but the real mana comes from an unseen source. So, you know, like, how do you explain that to people in like a tangible way? If somebody wants to know what it is that I do, I usually would say, oh, maybe you should hop on the table and I'll show you.
You're listening to Pacific Soul on ABC Radio Australia.
I'm Melissa Makin, and on this special episode of Pacific Soul, we're looking at the spiritual Māori healing practices, and the ABC's Moale James Proud is talking to Māori healer Shalita Zaney. And she asked Shalita if she's ever worked on someone who didn't quite understand the practice.
That's the thing. I mean, a lot of these practices are in a deep reclamation. And I mean, even in the 10 years that I've been on this journey, that reclamation has really like emboldened itself. But the large majority of people that I get to engage with and meet have not had a mirimiri experience before, or very little. So I am starting from that place where there is a big component of education to what it is that I do. I used to make rongoā Māori products, which I still do when I get time. But a large component of what I would be doing is actually educating people about the products that I had created from, you know, the beautiful plants. It's a massive component of what we're doing. So I definitely have specific spiels down relating to whichever the offering is that I'm doing. I like to speak to that. Mi-ri means to stimulate, to agitate. And what we're doing is we're working across, you know, a range of different areas, te taha wairua, the spiritual component, te taha tinana, the physical component, te taha whānau, the family or relational component, and of course te taha hininaro, the mental or emotional state of the person. So when we stand and put ourselves in that role and position to be the conduit for the energy and the guidance to work through us, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen, because I'm standing in that place and in the void that we refer to as te kore, right, which is that beautiful void of unlimited potential. And I love it because it's where absolutely anything can happen. I can get shown a vision or a piece of information, or the body will show me something. So all of these different aspects will give you pieces of information. And then my job is kind of like to weave that together so that we come and we land in a place which gives the person who's receiving a really full picture about what it is that they've been experiencing. And oftentimes that lands them in a place of deep acknowledgement and understanding, because the physical pain that they may, for instance, that they may have been feeling in a shoulder, when we go in to have a look at it through our lens, we tap back through using the tool of whakapapa to see, oh, where did this actually start? Because the physical symptom that they're experiencing is usually the last thing that will reveal itself. It's always something else, in my experience. And it's being able to like midi, like stimulate and agitate that information to come through. And then we present that to the person, and they usually have quite a profound moment of realization when we start piecing all the things together. And that's when the transformations can take place. Yeah. It's beautiful work.
Yeah. And a beautiful work, but I would dare say it's also probably heavy work. I mean, you said that you're like this vessel to be able to have this this work come through you, but how do you protect yourself as well in that space?
Sure. Oh, yeah, I'm very big about anybody that knows me knows that I will go on and on and on about tapu, the sacredness, and about safety. It is the core value that underpins everything that I do. So many of us have had experiences in this lifetime where we have been made to feel unsafe, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever, in whatever way, shape or form. So my first job is to ensure that somebody feels safe with whatever offering that is that they're, you know, putting themselves forwards for. How do you create safety? Well, first and foremost, you have to live in an embodied way as the practitioner that you, or the facilitator that you profess yourself to be. There were, you know, some really deeply harmful experiences that I had throughout my life. And I hit the age of 40, feeling the weight of all of those, having traversed through the 10 years prior of heavy addiction and, you know, all of those things, trying to run away from all of my trauma. And when I hit that point where I was like, I've got to start dealing with all of this stuff. So the first undertaking for me, if you're stepping into this work, is you must be prepared to do all of your own work yourself. You got to do your work, because that's how you then can show up for others. And, you know, there's that beautiful saying that you really can only hold somebody or create healing for somebody to the depth at which you have healed yourself. And I'm a 100% believer in that. When we're able to create that safety and that healing within ourselves, and that's done in a myriad of different ways. I live a very particular lifestyle that I believe upholds the mana of my tapu. You know, I keep myself in a highly tapu state, a highly sacred state. What does that look like? There's certain lifestyle choices that I don't partake in. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do, you know, those sorts of vices, if you like, because for me, it takes away from my ability to have a strong vessel and channel and be the strong conduit that I need to be and the clear conduit that I need to be in order for source energy and the tupuna to work through me.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
As Pacific Islander people, you know, a lot of our nations were colonized by missionaries or church organizations. Could you share what impact has that influence had on your practice?
Sure. On a personal level, I was adopted out when I was 2.5 years old. My mum was a teen mum back in the 70s. And I was adopted out and I was adopted into a Pākehā family. So I grew up mostly down in Christchurch, which is a very sort of Pākehā place. I did not grow up with my culture. I did not grow up with any connection to my culture. It was not reflected back at me. My parent, so-called parent, particularly the mother that I grew up with, the Pākehā mother, she was abusive and quite nasty about the fact that I had Māori whakapapa. So there's that kind of personal impact. When I got to the age of about 17, 18, I connected back to my birth mother, who's part of my whakapapa Māori, and I started to see and experience and feel the impact of, you know, colonization, urbanization, the loss of the language, the loss of connection back to Tūranga Waiwai, back to the marae, back to those places of standing. These were the circles that and the things that had, you know, encircled my family in terms of my mother's side anyway. And as a part of that, of course, they were deeply entrenched in addictions, you know, and at that time, yeah, I also was also on that, in that energy. So it suited me at that kind of point. As I progressed on and I came back and revisited them in my 30s, late 30s, and then when I stepped into this part of my journey, which is when I started, I wanted to obviously was changing the way that I was living and the lifestyle I was leading. And that caused a great deal of problems within that whānau, because obviously what I was reflecting to them was not mirroring the sorts of things that they were doing. So that caused another split between myself and my family. But for me, it was about standing in the mana of who it was that I felt and sensed I was becoming. Everyone in my mother's line has the same gifts as me, but none of them were practicing. So what I've learned is that there was, you know, 2 to 3 generations of people that had been disconnected from place, 2 to 3 generations of whānau that had been disconnected from their gifts. And part of the impact and cause of that were things like the Tūhunga Suppression Act. You know, so there's those ripple effects that you could quite tangibly see, sense, and feel. And then, you know, here I am coming through and emerging and sort of reclaiming myself and doing the work to work through and process, you know, like the traumas and the things that I had been impacted by, which again, I would in part put down to having come from that colonized experience. And then, you know, tapping back through and just working through the layers, working through the layers. And it's that sort of beautiful twofold journey where you're in the tepō, you're in the nights, the long dance nights, because you're doing the mahi, doing the work to work through and release and heal yourself. But at the same time, you're in the light of reclaiming and working with, and that's when, even now when I'm working with people all the time, I say to them, this is a two sides of the same coin. We have to acknowledge the pain and the trauma and the things that you've experienced, but the gift is that we get to reclaim the things that have also been lost to us in part, and then we get to step more fully into that, which is, That's the greatest gift to me, is to be able, and I, you know, that has been my experience, is that as I've over the last 10 years worked on myself, it's also run alongside this opportunity that I've been gifted to work with the ancestral gifts and to help with that work, you know, and healing others.
So as part of that decolonization in your journey, what are some other common misconceptions or stereotypes about your work and your practice?
I was always instructed that my work would be open for everybody. And some people find that interesting. Not to say that one is good or bad or otherwise, but some people and practitioners feel that, you know, that this type of work is for to be kept in the family, in the whakapapa. And that's kaitapai, that's awesome if that's part of their kaupapa. But my kaupapa, as it was given to me, was this work is open for everybody. If it's aligned and the ancestors bring somebody to you from Germany or from Turtle Island or from, and I've literally had people, you know, like from all over the world land on my table and my offerings, whether that's a workshop, whether that's breath work, they, my instruction was that this is for everyone. And I remember questioning the powers that be, the tupuna and that, they're the ones that gifted the kaupapa. And I was like, why? Why is it for everybody? And their answer to me was, well, because at some point in time, we need to start creating like a healing bridge between all parties, you know, the colonizer and the colonized, if you want to put it in that kind of framing, because deepening people's knowledge and understanding of who and what and how it is that we show up as a culture, as a people, there is a responsibility for that, you know, and it's got to happen. Otherwise, we just build a bridge one way and then the other, what's happening on this side? So, yeah, I think there is a little bit of a sometimes a misconception that this work is just for, you know, those from our culture or similarly. But I'm like, no, this is for everybody. If you feel a call to come and be in whatever that space is, then you come and be in that space. Like, no matter what the work is that you've been called to do, it always comes back to the same thing, which is kei te mihi, kei te mihi, kei te mihi. Acknowledge, acknowledge, acknowledge. And when I was walking, you know, the beautiful earth and the place that I was called to in Australia last year, it was like that. It was like being called to places where perhaps because of the gift that I carry, I have that ability to see, sense, and feel something that may be there that needs acknowledgement. And that's why it's so important for us that we go back to the source and to the catalyst, the cause of something. Because in doing that, we get an opportunity to acknowledge what has happened to that person in a physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, whatever way. You know, if it's working with the land or with the waters, our beautiful lands are the great data recorder of it all. And it holds so much. And sometimes there could be people in places that have passed and they need to be acknowledged. Perhaps there hasn't been an opportunity for that. Whatever the case may be. But for me, that is at the core of just everything that we do. You have to see and bear witness and acknowledge what it is that has happened to someone or to a place.
Beautiful. So thank you so much for being so awesome. Generous with your sharing.
It's
been so interesting. So, yeah, thank cool. you.
And, oh, enjoy, beautiful.
And enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. I will. All right. Take care.
You too. Alrighty.
Okay.
Bye.
That was Māori tohunga spiritual leader Shalita Zaini. A huge thank you to Moale James Proud for her research and her interview. This has been Pacific Soul with me, Melissa Macon. If you'd like to listen back to any of our previous episodes, just search for us wherever you get your podcasts. This episode was produced on the lands of the Yagara and the Turrbal people.